Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this beautiful morning. It is 10:02 and I don't know what the temperature is, but it's certainly short sleeve weather and the Bermudas, or whatever you would call them nowadays, shorts. This is the first Friday of May, May 4th, and the year is 2018. And it's really busy in downtown Northfield. And a big excitement going on, the Northfield experience. Rehearsal was last night. It went very well. And you're invited to attend this evening's program and tomorrow's programs. One starts at 6 tonight, I believe, and then 1 and 5 tomorrow. It's very interesting, particularly if you like music and you like dancing. I got up really early this morning and got the paper, sat out on the deck, enjoyed the sunrise, coffee, birds chirping. Just great to be alive. Thank you for joining me today on KYMN Radio, the 95.1 FM. Today's guest is a fellow by the name of Chris Sorensen, and Chris Sorensen is the immediate past president of the Northfield Hockey Association. Did I get that right?
You did. As of Monday of this week, I'm the past president. I'm still on the board, but I was the president for the 5 years before that, and I think I was the secretary for 6 years before that, so I've been pretty involved with the Hockey Association.
Your kids must be through the hockey program, huh?
My youngest, I have one son and three daughters. My youngest had her last season last year, so she'll be in the high school program with her two older sisters in the next season.
Wow. Are you, because of the position of president, et cetera, were you as a kid a hockey player?
No. I grew up in northeast Wyoming, in a town called Gillette, Wyoming,
and they didn't. I've been there.
Have you?
I golfed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and the ball would hit the ground and go forever.
Yeah, I remember when that club was built. I grew up in Gillette, and they didn't have hockey in Wyoming then. Hockey is really kind of taking over in Wyoming now, I understand. There's an arena in Gillette now and in Sheridan, but no, I have never. I can't even skate.
Okay.
When my four kids got involved in hockey, the way that I could contribute as a volunteer was to be on the board and provide my volunteer hours that way, because I certainly was not the right person to be coaching the kids on how to play hockey.
I remember a good friend of mine from years ago coached Carleton College hockey, and I shook my head and said, "You're the coach for hockey?" Wynn Mitchell was his name. It probably still is his name. I haven't seen him for a while. I had a gentleman on the air about a week or so ago, and he was to be a guest of mine, which is when I learn all about an individual. Who are you? Where are you from? What did your grandparents do? And it's a chronology of an individual's life. Mm-hmm. But this particular person had an agenda that I was unaware of, and the agenda was talking about proposal of building a two sheets of ice for the city of Northfield. And he went on and talked about the cost, and he was adamantly against it. And I think there were people that said, "Hey, wait a minute, man. You know, this guy's giving his editorial. We should provide equal time." And one of our staff members knows you very well, evidently, and he set up this interview. So,
sure.
So the folks know that, unlike a normal interview, who are you, etc., you want to get a couple of points across. And I am not totally familiar with anything, so I will ask questions, hopefully, that will be beneficially answered to the listeners. And I may play the devil's advocate.
Sure.
And figure it all out. Here's what I know, okay? And St. Olaf is building a sheet of ice. They're going to have an arena, an ice arena. And from what I understand, people like yourself and others approached them and said, hey, while you're building one, why don't you build two? And then the city of Northfield could also use that for their programs. And it was talked about, bantered about, hopeful for some people. But then the fact that they'd have to build a $3 million road to get to the for the public to get to the arena, it just got to be a little too expensive. That's one story I heard. Then the other story I heard was that there is a possibility that the city of Northfield is going to spend up to $21 million for two sheets of ice on the Gleason property, which is behind Apple Chevrolet Buick on the west side of the road of the post office.
Yeah, if you're standing right in front of Northfield Auto Body, it's the field just to the left.
Oh, okay.
If you're facing Northfield Auto Body. That's how I kind of think of it.
Okay, right. Yeah. And if you were coming between Quick Trip and Arby's, you would run right into it.
Yep.
Okay. And that land is donated by the Gleasons.
Yeah, the Gleason family very generously donated that land. It's a little more than 7 acres to the Northfield Hockey Association. So the Northfield Hockey Association owns that land now. And it was a very generous, extraordinarily generous gift.
What would you say the value was?
You know, when we were doing the appraisals of the land, the number, it's right around $850,000, I believe. I think that's in the assessment records for the public.
Okay, so
I'm hesitating because I don't know the exact number, okay. But it's right around $850,000.
Let's say $500,000. What the heck?
Yeah.
But that's $500,000 or $800,000 mm-hmm. off the tax rolls because you're a nonprofit.
Right.
And so, therefore, you will not pay taxes.
Well, the 501c3 organization that is the NHA, we actually do pay the property taxes on that land.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah. We definitely do pay property taxes. I mean, we are a nonprofit organization, but I think how the laws apply, I think there's a way that you can apply to get an exemption for that as long as it's being used for the mission of the 501c3. But at the moment, it's still on the tax rolls. Now, you know, of course, if the dream of this new community arena comes into being, then it would not be on the tax rolls because the idea is that it'll be gifted to the city of Northfield. So, of course, the city of Northfield doesn't pay taxes on their own property.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so I don't know much more than that, and except that I will say that $21 million is a lot of money. And is that the real price, or is that just one of the proposals?
Well, you know, this whole discussion began about 18 months ago when the city formed the Ice Arena Committee. It was an ad hoc committee, and the discussions that happened with St. Olaf were all part of this sort of committee to investigate the options that were available to try to do something with the current arena. And, you know, the city's idea was originally, let's really dig into this and figure out what the best option is. And the options presented were, do we try to fix the current arena, expand the current arena, and how much would that cost? Or do we collaborate with St. Olaf and build a second sheet of ice on the St. Olaf campus, and how much would that cost? Or the third option was, do we try to find a facility or a space where we can build a new arena that the city would own? And so, I mean, I really, all of the meetings that happened over the last 18 months, I was at nearly every one of them. There was a tremendous amount of hard work done to try to really explore each one of these options. What you had heard about the St. Olaf facility is correct. I think that when we first started this committee, the St. Olaf people were really in the initial stages of trying to decide what they were going to do on their facility. So it sort of was a progressive discussion throughout. I mean, we really did dig into the possibility of building a standalone facility on St. Olaf land that was not connected to the St. Olaf. I can't remember the name of the athletic facility there. Skoglund. I can't remember. But, you know, and St. Olaf did a lot of work because they were also, you know, working privately on how they were going to raise the funds to be able to do whatever they wanted to do. And, you know, I think that the solution for St. Olaf that made the most sense for St. Olaf was to renovate the current building and have a single sheet of ice. And once they made that decision, then it was really trying to decide, okay, how much would it cost if we added a city sheet of ice so that there would be two at St. Olaf? And that's where the logical progression kind of came down to, you know, to add a single sheet of ice to the St. Olaf facility, the estimates were right around $17 million. And then you had to add on to that the cost of building a road, an access road that came in through North Avenue. And in that scenario, there was also sort of this joint, the ideas were being bantered about how would we then, if it is on the St. Olaf facility, and it is a St. Olaf facility, basically the city would be renting ice then from St. Olaf, and St. Olaf would take care of the operation of the ice arena. And you know, that was not something that I don't think really anybody thought was a very good idea, on top of the cost of the adding additional sheet. The other thing that we talked a lot about on the committee was the ability of a new arena, whether located on St. Olaf property or located somewhere else in Northfield, its ability to impact the economics of the city of Northfield. And there was a sense that isolated up kind of in the St. Olaf community, it would be more difficult to try to pull more people who use the facility into the downtown areas and into the areas of Northfield where there's more economic activity. You know, being a hockey dad for the last 12 years, I've gone to a lot of tournaments in a lot of other towns in the state of Minnesota, and you know, these tournaments are really, they're really fantastic when the community does them correctly. You know, you show up with your team and you've got a hotel room for two nights and all of your kids are excited because they're staying in a hotel room and they're playing hockey games. And, you know, you have to find dinner for your kids. You have to find breakfast for the kids. You have to organize things. And then in the time that you're not skating in a game, you go out and explore the community. And some of these communities do a really nice job of when you sign up, they give you coupons, they give you directions, they give you, you know, information about what's happening in the city at the time. You know, it's a pretty neat experience. So one of the things that Mayor Pennell really tried to focus us in on is try to understand as much as we could the economic impact to the city under each of the three options that we were looking at. So they decided that we wanted to do this economic impact assessment to try as best as we could to get some sort of an objective estimate about what kind of revenue a facility like this may attract to the city of Northfield. And so we did that with the Ballard and King consultants. Their estimate was, you know, we can get into the details of how they came up with these numbers, but conservatively $1.3 million annually of new money coming into the city of Northfield. And the less conservative estimate is $1.8 million of new money, and what that's predicated on is the assumption of seven tournaments. With two sheets of ice, seven tournaments can include 16 teams per tournament. In Northfield last year, we conducted four tournaments, eight teams in each tournament. So adding three tournaments is not is going to be very easy to do. And if we can start coordinating more with the local companies and the local businesses, you know, there's the potential of having seven tournaments with 8 to 16 teams per tournament. With two sheets of ice, you can do that with scheduling of all the games. And so that's where the math came out for the 1.3 to 1.8. It's assuming seven tournaments. And they arrived at a dollar amount, which I think is really a conservative dollar amount, that for each person or family that visits for these tournaments, they estimated $220 per day or per visit, so for the whole weekend. And this was based on a study that was done by the University of Wisconsin in 2000 in Onalaska, Wisconsin, for lacrosse. And that, you know, they were trying to estimate what the economic impact might be for actually building a hockey arena, but they used a survey that was done by the Lacrosse Association to get a sense of, instead of picking a number out of the air, how much would a typical family spend in the community for an athletic event. And they came up with $220, and that was back in 2000. So, I mean, I can promise you, my family, when we go to a hockey tournament, we spend more than $220 over the space of a weekend, you know, at these tournaments. You know, the kids like to have pizza, and the kids like to go around and see things, and, you know, $220 for two nights at a hotel room is...
For the entire family?
For the entire family. Okay. So the $220 is really, really very conservative, which I think is appropriate because, you know, we're trying to predict the future economic impact of what a facility like this might have for the city of Northfield. So they used 220, and then they assumed seven tournaments through the season, and then they calculated all the regular games that happen with the Hockey Association as well as with the high school teams, and that's where they came up with the $1.3 million to $1.8 million in economic impact associated with this arena.
And in our business advertising, they use what they call a cost per thousand.
Right.
And if you're using lacrosse numbers on a cost per thousand basis, they have a much larger area to serve, including the city itself of lacrosse, mm-hmm. and then all the surrounding communities that would use that ice. And in Northfield, we have Lakeville to the north. I don't think we have much going to the south that I'm aware of, and to the west and to the east.
A lot more than you would expect. You know, the southern Minnesota hockey is pretty alive and pretty active.
Okay.
But I think the point is the Onalaska community and the lacrosse community is certainly larger, but they didn't use the population of that area as a basis for calculating the economic impact in Northfield. That would be crazy because Northfield's much smaller. I agree with you about that. What they used was the $220 per visit number.
Okay.
And they took that $220 and they calculated that out based upon the number of tournaments and the number of visits that we could reasonably estimate would happen in Northfield. So it's not taking the metrics of a larger population and applying it to Northfield. It's really taking that $220 per visit and then putting that into Northfield numbers.
What impact does high school hockey games, not tournaments, but aren't there independent individual games besides tournaments?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another reason why this economic impact is really pretty stated very conservatively. You know, I got the numbers actually from our ice scheduler today. For the 2018 season, for instance, we had a total of 59 games in Northfield that had nothing to do with the association. You know, the association are all 14, for the boys, 14 years and younger, and for the girls, 12 years and younger. So the high school and St. Olaf and Carlton has a few club hockey games, I think. It was 59 games in the season. For the regular games for the Hockey Association for the 2018 season, it was 118 games. And then also on top of that, there were 62 games played in Northfield last year in tournaments. We put on four tournaments, so 62 games. So the high school has their games, and if you've ever attended one of these hockey games, I mean, especially in our arena, it's standing room only. I mean, it's really hard to get space.
It's kind of an ugly arena.
And it is.
Let me let you know, I was around when hockey first started at Northfield High School, and it was done by a group of individuals that mm-hmm. wanted ice in Northfield,
yeah.
And they pooled their own resources and bought the, built that arena, and obviously it wasn't done like a luxury item. It was serviceable, and then when the children, in my opinion, grew out of the age of playing hockey in Northfield, the investors let it kind of go, mm-hmm. and it was empty for a while, and then the city decided to buy it. So that's kind of the history, and I've been in there many times, and I have to say that it does need better facilities, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to call it ugly because it's sort of been my home for the last 10 years. And there are some, you know, it's a really nice place to watch a hockey game if you can get a seat because you're right close to the ice.
People from Apple Valley and from Lakeville and from...
Yeah, the visiting teams don't like it. Yeah. Right, they don't. And, you know, the visiting team's experience is you come in and there's a very tight crowd to get in. There's no space to kind of, you know, wait for your kids to get off the ice and... And the locker rooms are really small, and they're not very... Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's much dispute that there really needs to be something done about the current arena.
I agree.
You know, I just tend to be sort of... maybe not defensive isn't the right word, but, it's been a fantastic place to play hockey for the last 10 years. And even with all the frustrations, and I do believe that we really do need to do something about it. I mean, I wouldn't call it ugly. It's sort of, you know, it's beat up and it's not very serviceable, and I think it really needs to be changed.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. I mean, it was built in 1971, and you're absolutely right about the chronology. Eventually the city took it over, and I think it was in the early 90s, they had to do some renovations, and then in the early 2000s they did more renovations with the new cooling system. You know, I mean, we've been putting Band-Aids and lipstick on that mm-hmm. facility for a very, very long time. And, you know, we do need a new facility. I think the more important question is how do we accomplish a new facility that serves Northfield, the entire city, in a way that's beneficial, not just those who play hockey or those who do figure skating. You know, we have an opportunity here to develop more of a community arena where more than just the hockey players and more than just the figure skaters have the benefit of this facility. And it can be, you know, when you're dreaming about sometime these facilities, which, you know, we're in the dreaming state right now, there's a lot of potentially really fantastic uses that we could put this place to. I don't know if you've ever been to the new ROC facility that's in St. Louis Park. So they have three sheets of ice inside, but then they have an outside sheet that's covered by this really neat roof, and it's refrigerated ice. But I was up there a couple weeks ago with my youngest daughter, who's playing hockey in some spring leagues, and talked to the facilities person. You know, as soon as the season's over, they take the ice out. They put in turf on this outside arena, and they play the lacrosse teams in St. Louis Park practice in the spring in this covered facility. And, you know, there's no walls, so it can be pretty chilly, but they keep the snow and the ice off the field, and so there's a practice facility for the lacrosse players. And then once the lacrosse season is over, they put floors in for tennis courts, they put in basketball courts. They really do have a way to make these facilities usable, even past the hockey season. And if we're looking at as for the city of Northfield, I think that's really the most important thing to look at, is that we don't need to necessarily think of this as only a hockey arena. All of the pro formas and the calculations that have been done to try to understand whether this would be a sustainable facility once it's built moving forward focuses on hockey, because that's, you know, hockey's going to be the primary user, and also the Figure Skating Association. And it can be sustainable in terms of how much you spend to keep it up and the operational costs. But we really have to think about this in the context of a lot more than just the ice users. It could be lacrosse, it could be connected to the bike trail, it could be converted to tennis courts, it could be converted to turf. There's just a lot of things that we could do with a facility like this that would be fantastic for the city of Northfield.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with the immediate past president of the Northfield Hockey Association, Chris Sorensen. But earlier on, I mentioned about the Northfield experience and the fact that there are all kinds of performances all throughout the community by Northfielders and by Olies and Carls. And one of them takes place at the depot outside, which is, of course, right next to the Quarterback Club, which is locally owned and locally managed and has been around for 50 years. Dale Finger supports all kinds of youth activities, and he is proud to say that he has employed, if not hundreds, maybe thousands of young kids throughout their high school career. They may have that as a first job at the QB. And don't forget, today is Friday, and they have all kinds of fish offerings, fish sandwiches, fish baskets, fish dinners, you name it, they got it at your quarterback club.
Spring is finally here and summer won't be far behind. We all know this means road trips and road construction. The crew at Witt Brothers Service in Northfield would like to remind everyone that they are going to be open during construction while both 7th and Division Streets surrounding Witt Brothers is repaired. Please call 507-645-7242 to set up your appointment and they will let you know what driveway will be open for you to use. Don't forget, it is best to have your vehicle checked out before you head out of town on your road trip for a worry-free vacation.
When it comes to mom, it needs to be quality, it needs to be precious, and it needs to be perfect. Jenkins Jewelers in downtown Northfield has what mom wants to make Mother's Day perfect. Jenkins Jewelers, your locally owned and operated jeweler, has outstanding quality and selection for Mother's Day, plus special prices throughout the store just for mom. This year, stop into Jenkins for that perfect gift mom deserves just in time for Mother's Day.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Looking for casual dining and great homemade food this weekend? Take the short drive to Delicious to the Fireside Lounge and Supper Club in Denison. Along with a full menu, Friday dinner features include Fireside slow-cooked ribs and Friday fish fry. Saturday is prime rib night, and Sunday supper is always a great way to wind down after a busy weekend. Fireside's full bar, cocktails, and 10 local and regional tap beers will quench your thirst. Don't forget to finish off your meal with one of Michelle's homemade desserts. Fireside in Denison opens at 11 a.m. Friday and Saturday, and Sunday breakfast starts at 9 a.m. The Fireside Lounge and Supper Club in Denison.
We're back live from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, on the 95.1 FM and 1080 AM. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Chris Sorensen. He has been president of the Northfield Hockey Association for quite a while, and just retired from that position on Monday. I do have a couple of things I want to say so I don't forget them, because I'm an old guy. Excuse me. You're pointing out something?
No, I was trying to point out that my mic was not on.
Oh, but, yeah. You're more attentive than I am.
Go ahead.
All right, here's the deal. You may not know this, but I like to mention it when I get a chance. Have you ever heard of Bob Lertzema?
Sorry, I have not.
Okay, well, he was bench warmer Bob on the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
His wife was a terrific figure skater. And he and I, you know where the rodeo arena is, don't you?
In Northfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he and I did a study on putting an ice rink there.
Really?
And what happened was, and it would have been also a restaurant and bar connected to it, and a figure skating sheet and an ice skating sheet,
right.
Hockey. And at the time we did that, the interest rates on loans were so unbelievably high that it just could not be done. So I did have an interest in that. Just wanted to tell you that. I'm trying to impress you.
Yeah, no, I am impressed.
Okay,
number two. I've spent a lot of time looking at some of the other initiatives that have happened. You know, I've been in Northfield for 15 years, so I'm a relative newcomer, but I have studied a lot of the city documents associated with what was going to be the rec center that I think now is the retirement center right behind the football fields there.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm. They now call it 50 North.
50 North, okay. So, you know, I think that the other thing to think about with regard to what we're trying to do, what the city's trying to do with regard to this community arena is $21 million keeps being spoken, because yeah, that is a lot of money, but what we're trying to do is to really, for the to get to $21 million, the tax The sales tax increase, the half-cent sales tax, and the property referendum is designed to try to get around $7 million. The rest of the funding for that facility, if it's a two-rink facility, comes from private funding. We're going to try to get a private capital campaign going, and we're going to try to, once we know what it is that we're raising money for, raise as much as $3.4 to $6.5 million to try to actually get this done. So $21 million is a lot, but we have to remember the contribution of the city to create this initial capital isn't the full $21 million. It's about $8.8 million. And you can see those calculations on the city's website. They have the different proposals in the minutes from our committee. It's right in their final presentation on the collaboration with financing.
Can't you find a sugar daddy like the Hazzies did for Lakeville?
Well, that would be wonderful, and we certainly will try as hard as we possibly can to find that sort of a funding source. You know, my brother lives in Sheridan, Wyoming, and they had, as I understand the story, there's a family that lives in Sheridan that is part of the Mars Corporation. So this woman decided that she really wanted hockey in Sheridan, so she basically built the entire arena, single donor. Gave it to the city. The city's running it now, and they have hockey in Sheridan. I mean, absolutely, that would be wonderful. If we can find donors like that, we certainly will. The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, it is not a comfortable thing to ask the voters of the city of Northfield to fund through any form of tax increase a facility that is what we're thinking of. But it's not $21 million, it's $8.1 million, and it's not only an ice arena. We're hoping to have it be a multiple-use facility that can be a real asset for the city of Northfield. You know, the economic impact that was calculated is based on only hockey people in seven tournaments and how much money hockey people spend when they come to a town. If we can develop a facility that has lacrosse, that has tennis, you could even have a facility that you can convert over to a concert space. There's no reason why we can't dream about other ways in which to make this facility a real attraction to the city of Northfield. It's not just for hockey players or figure skaters. It's for, you know, a way to fill up hotel rooms during the hockey season, a way to bring people to Northfield. You know, like, here's a good story. The city... The association put on these Defeat of Jesse James Days tournaments for 2 years.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Well, you know, we did the first one in 2015.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was right in the middle of all of that. That took a lot of work, mostly because we had to get Minnesota Hockey to approve having a tournament that early in the season. You know, because normally they like to wait until all the teams are selected and tryouts happen. And so we got approval through Minnesota Hockey, and we committed to doing that tournament. The first one in 2015, we actually had 8 teams come to that tournament. It was a very, very successful tournament in terms of hockey. The teams that came in just absolutely loved having a tournament that early in the season, but most importantly, they thought it was fantastic to be in Northfield during the Defeat of Jesse James Days, because when their kids weren't skating, they went through the craft fairs, they went through all of the events that are happening in Northfield. You know, the one thing that was a little tough was by the time we had the first tournament organized, of course, all of the hotel rooms in Northfield were already long since booked because of all the Defeat of Jesse James Days events. So the second year, the year 2016, we also had 8 teams come in. One came from Chicago, actually, from the Chicago area. And it was really fun because once that team committed to coming to the tournament, all of their parents started emailing me like crazy. Okay, where should we stay? What should we do? What's going on in Northfield? And I actually connected their team manager to the person who was selling the rodeo tickets. So we were able to, we actually bought the rodeo tickets for them and gave them when they came in, and then they reimbursed us for the cost. But that team was just absolutely thrilled because, you know, the girls, it was a U12 tournament, so it was girls under age 12. They just loved it. So it was a kernel of an idea that I thought was really exciting. The reason why we're not doing it anymore is our current arena doesn't have a subsoil heating system under it. What that means is that there has to be a certain period of time in the year where that floor is not frozen. Otherwise, it's got the potential of upheaval, like the floor will raise, and then that would be a disaster. So they have to have some certain period, I think it's 6 months, where the floor isn't frozen. And so for our summer ice program, the high school coaches can't have access to the athletes until after a certain time in the summer and before a certain time in the fall. So the way the schedule works is you could either have ice in the latter half of the summer, or you could have ice in the early part of the summer, and it works better for everybody to have ice in the early part of the summer. So the Jesse James Days tournament isn't happening anymore because the city has to take the ice out during the time period where the defeat of Jesse James Days activity happens. But there is a lot of excitement around trying to find a way to get that tournament back up and running. And
I was chairman of the celebration that first year, and I was real excited. I thought it was a grand idea. Question number 72. If you look to the south, you see a dome. What effect does that have on your aspirations?
Well, I think...
And I'm talking about the dome in Dundas.
Yeah. I think that the dome in Dundas is a fantastic thing. I mean, I think my son ended up not playing hockey through high school. He started playing lacrosse, and he's playing lacrosse in college now. And I think the Dundas Dome is great, and it's a wonderful facility. The proposed location, the Gleason property, is very close to the dome. And I think that if you combine the dome with a potential new community arena down in that area, and you look at all of the unoccupied space that's there, there's a lot of potential for economic development and some synergistic relationships between people who want to use the dome and people who want to use the ice facilities. So, I think in a perfect world, if there could have been some way in which to coordinate the city with the construction of a dome, with the construction of a new ice arena, and adding onto that community meeting rooms, I mean, that might have been a more efficient way to accomplish a lot at once, but we can still accomplish a great deal with this community arena that's in our dreams.
There's so much to talk about in so little time, as they say.
Okay.
All right. The Gleasons donated the land, seven or eight acres.
It's a little more than 7 acres, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
They donated the land to you.
To the Hockey Association, well, correct.
Okay. The 501(c)(3).
Yes.
Okay. So now that's your land.
Correct.
And therefore it goes off the tax rolls, but it can go back on. That isn't all clear right now. But now, if this referendum passes, then you're going to donate that land to the city of Northfield, correct?
That's the plan, correct.
Okay. And so now the city of Northfield owns and operates the ice arena, and you become a customer.
Correct.
Do you work to bring in other? Are there other teams like in Cannon Falls or Kenyon or any place else that would want to come in and use that? And I can hit you. Is there going to be a service like food service and other amenities that would draw money to help pay for that arena?
The answer to your last question is sure, why not? Absolutely. You know, one thing that I think, again, dreaming here, why couldn't we make a connection to the bike trail that's being constructed and have some sort of a facility where people who are coming through on the bike trail can stop and fix their bikes, get a lemonade and food service, sure, why not? I mean, we're not really constricted at the moment to what the options are. What we're constricted at the moment is finding the capital to have a facility where we can do whatever we might want to do with it. Why not? We could have a cafe. We could have a bike repair shop. We could have a lacrosse repair shop. We could have, we could even have a community meeting room of some sort. The options are really unlimited when it comes to trying to find creative ways to make a a facility that can attract more people to the town of Northfield. Now, on your question about other hockey communities, you know, when I first became the president of the Hockey Association, one of the most interesting discussions I had over the years was with the then president of the Farmington Hockey Association, because Farmington pushed forward a capital campaign and a voter initiative to try to replace the Farmington Ice Arena. And I think ultimately that initiative did not pass with the voters in Farmington. But I can tell you, because I mean, I've been down at the Shattuck facilities several times with my kids doing practices. There are a lot of families that travel from Farmington through Northfield to Faribault because they don't have enough ice in Farmington. And every discussion that I've had with Farmington people is, man, it would be wonderful if we could stop at Northfield to have this extra practice facilities, to have more ice time. So the answer to your question about other communities, I think for Farmington, certainly. Now, you know, through the summer, my girls that are in the high school program, there's a program that they run out of the Kasson Ice Facility through the summer. It's more in the later half of the summer. It's the 3-on-3 league. And the Kasson facility is just hopping in the latter part of the summer with this 3-on-3 league. It's the high school girls teams getting together and playing 3-on-3. And sometimes they'll do 4-on-4. It depends on how many girls show up. At the city council meeting this past week, Brent Bielenberg, who's the head coach for the girls program in the high school, I thought gave a really nice talk about how his dream has always been to try to build a hub in southern Minnesota for summer programming, for summer clinics, for summer teams. You know, there's a AAA organization that exists within the state of Northfield, or I'm sorry, within the state of Minnesota, where, you know, spring leagues, summer leagues, AAA hockey teams. I mean, the answer is yes. We if we have the facility, there's no end to the amount of programming that we can do focused on hockey through the course of the summer. Absolutely.
But you have to shut down for 6 months out of the year.
We do in the current arena, yes.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The,
oh,
for what we're hoping would be the new arena, no, because it will be constructed with an appropriate subsoil heating system.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the big problems with trying to fix the current arena. You know, there's a plan in the documents that you can see on the from the committee that's on the city website, where there's larger locker rooms and an expanded reception space, and there's, you know, there is a plan. If the option would have been trying to fix the current arena, that makes the current arena, you know, a little bit more palatable. But even with that plan, you have the problem of there has to be a period of time where that sheet is not frozen. Otherwise, we risk losing the entire building if there is a particularly harsh winter where the subsoil lifts the floor up.
Where is the major cost? Okay, I can see land preparation, and I don't know what the land is like out there, but I'm sure that's going to be an expense.
Yeah.
And then you put in the ice. I don't know what the cost is for that. Then you do the brick and mortar. I have no idea what the cost of that is, but why $21 million? That's more than other facilities within the community, if not the most prominent one, dollar-wise.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to answer that question accurately. What I can tell you is that on the committee, when those numbers started coming in front of us, every one of us said, wow. Is that really what it's going to cost? What if we build it? What if we had a facility that has no bells and whistles? That's just ice and a pole barn, basically. And when you, so the city folks who got these estimates and got these bids together went back two or three times to see if there's a way in which we can get these numbers down, and there really wasn't. My understanding is that the main cost is associated with the systems that are in place to keep the ice cold, and then you're building the concrete floor that has to have all the subsoil and all the sub stuff, and then you put walls around it, and those are the estimates. You know, our city administrator was the city administrator in Austin when they built the Austin facility, and a lot of the information comes from that Austin facility, but it was pared down dramatically. I mean, we're looking at the bare bones facility. This isn't anywhere near all the bells and whistles that could be in place. I mean, it's really, yeah, I just don't have a good answer for you. I mean, I feel confident that those numbers are real and that those numbers are very conservative and that those numbers are what it costs to build a facility that doesn't have all the bells and whistles that it could have. The other thing to remember is that an option available is a single sheet facility, which is around $15 million, which with the same sort of package of trying to raise private funds as well. I mean, it'll depend on how the city works it out and how the, you know, as we go through the next couple meetings. I mean, the $21 million is a two-sheet facility, which we think is the best option. But, you know, you could also build a single-sheet facility with room to expand later, and it could be a little bit different of a package. But I think at this point we really kind of want to try to dream as much as we can.
Has anybody projected that there potentially could be a profit in owning a $21 million facility for the city of Northfield?
The projections that are in place in the city documents in the committee establish that you can run the facility in a revenue positive way. But that's a fancy way of saying you can make enough to run the facility to have it pay for itself. But when it comes to making a profit on the facility itself, I think that's pretty tough. And I think that repeats itself over and over again in ICE facilities throughout the state. It's possible to make a profit with an ICE arena that's only serving hockey people year-round if you have the right programming, if you have a lot of teams playing, if you have a semi-pro team, if you have a lot of AAA people, if you really sell all that ice. I think it's possible, but I think when it comes to trying to make the right decision for the city of Northfield, it's dangerous to think that it's realistic for a facility like this to generate enough revenue to do anything other than pay for itself operationally moving forward.
It's a 10. It's 10 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning on KYMN is Chris Sorensen from the Northfield Hockey Association. We'll be back in just 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Flexion Care Suites on the campus of Three Links here in Northfield offers comfort care in a home-like environment. We provide compassionate, specialized end-of-life care to residents and families during phases of an incurable illness. We have a wonderful staff that provides the highest quality of care, supporting each resident's personal wishes. I am Susan Samuelson, Clinical Nurse Manager of Reflections. You can call me at 664-8809 for a tour of this beautiful facility.
Congratulations to the graduating class of 2018 from your friends at Quality Bakery. For your graduation party, Quality Bakery can help make it special. Quality Bakery's made-from-scratch buns come in white or wheat and in three different sizes and give burgers or sandwiches that real homemade flavor. And don't forget one of their delicious fruit pies, always a crowd favorite. At Quality Bakery, you'll find a selection of cookies, pastries, and bars, too. How about your graduation cake? Quality Bakery will personalize a cake for your special grad. Stop in today. Also, be sure to plan your Memorial Day weekend now and order your favorite pie. Apple, cherry, blueberry. The list goes on and everyone is delicious. Stop in or give them a call. For all your special occasions, make sure Quality Bakery is your first stop. Quality Bakery in downtown Northfield, serving area graduates for over 69 years. Quality is assured when you deal with Mike at Fox Landscaping. See what a difference new landscaping can do for you. Call Mike Fox at 645-9091 about professional landscape consultation. Fox Landscaping in Northfield.
Hi, this is Julie from the Northfield Liquor Store. Our profits directly support the community. What does this mean? Well, did you know that over the years, since I first started working at the Muni, we have contributed over $2.5 million to pay for basic city services. This includes everything from police and fire to streets, park and recreation, and the library. So when you shop at the Northfield Muni, you support the home team. You keep the snowplows running in the winter and the potholes filled in the summer, and we thank you.
Hey, the Kentucky Derby is coming up on Saturday. Have you picked your horse yet, Mr. Chris Sorensen?
I have not.
Neither have I.
You know, I said that I grew up in Wyoming. I, you know, my My great-grandfather immigrated from Denmark, and my family is still on the cattle ranch north of Gillette.
You must go to St. Peter's.
I have not been there yet.
Oh, it's a lot of Danish
Oh, okay,
people
there. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is I know quarter horses very, very well. I don't know the thoroughbred racing horses all that well.
All right. You know, you should stop in and be a guest just about you, you know. Is that a deal?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I start and where you're born and all that stuff and learn about quarter horses and all that. Okay, here comes the question. All right.
All right.
Where were you when somebody, and maybe you can tell me who it was, came up with the idea of a sales tax in Northfield to support the effort to bring in a new hockey arena?
Well, that was a proposal that came forward during the process of this committee that was the city ad hoc committee that was, you know, once we had the numbers in front of us for the different options, that was one of the answers that were proposed by the city staff of how we might be able to structure the means to, raise the capital necessary to build this facility. So I was at the committee meeting, and part of the package was, well, we could, in theory, present this half-cent sales tax initiative, and in addition to that, the property levy increase. So, yeah, that's part of it.
Are you kind of holding your breath on what Dundas is going to do?
Well, I am. I think that the dream of this facility doesn't happen, or at least it becomes a lot more difficult if both cities can't get together and collaborate on trying to make this vision happen. I wouldn't say that I'm holding my breath. I think, there are 22 families that reside in Dundas who have kids in the Hockey Association. 22 families, 29 skaters in the 2018 season. I'm holding my breath. This is going to require collaboration from both cities. It's going to require a very honest and complete discussion on all of the different uses that we could put to this facility. It's going to require Northfield and Dundas and the Hockey Association and the Figure Skating Association and the high schools. It's going to require a lot of people to come together to make this a reality.
Every time you put a team on the ice, how many are on a hockey team? Six? Nine? 14?
You know, the number that I use, and I think the number...
The goalie plus how many more?
14. So you want... you got your defenders. So you want to have at least four defenders. So two pairs that can go in and out.
Okay.
And then you want three lines of offense, is nine. So nine and four is like the minimum. You want to have around 14 and then the goalie.
So if you say 14 and they play a game, and you say 14 people use that ice, and then they play another game, do you now say 28 people use that ice? In other words, what is the population of the people, the numbers that you anticipate that will use the ice?
I guess I don't, the number that was used to, I think you're talking about the economic impact number that came in.
Well, $21 million, who's benefiting from that in regards to the amount of people that will use the facility in a year, for example?
Well, it really depends on what you mean by who's benefiting. Now, a facility like this, of course, the hockey players and the figure skaters are going to be using the facility, and hopefully we'll have more than that. We'll have lacrosse people and tennis people and the biking people using the facility. But when you come to the numbers who benefit from that, that's why I keep trying to focus on the economic impact calculations that have been done, very conservative calculations that have been done, where we will have an asset in the city of Northfield that's bringing $1.8 million annually into our economy. So there's going to be a lot of people in Northfield, a lot of businesses in Northfield, a lot of economic activity in Northfield that benefit from what we hope will be this shining new facility that brings people in. So you could say that a lot of people, far beyond the hockey teams, benefit from such a facility. What other facility do we have in Northfield owned by the city that attracts, that has the potential for attracting so many more people into Northfield at a time of the year when the hotels aren't booked to capacity through the hockey season? You know, the benefit, you have to think about it. I mean, if you're talking about economic benefit, it could be significant. And $1.8 million is a very conservative number.
Does that include
more than $220 when I take my kids to a hockey tournament.
Okay. You're not including in that the spending of the locals.
The 1.8 number does not include the spending of the locals. I think that's correct. That 1.8 number is an attempt to calculate as much as you can the amount of additional revenue beyond local that comes into the city of Northfield.
So you're not counting the kid that goes to the quarterback club and buys a burger.
No,
the kid, the team that was playing against him from Oshkosh and goes there, the number you're counting.
That's the number you're counting, yeah. Because you sort of assume in these calculations that the local, you can't really say the local spending is in addition to the current. I mean, the kid from Northfield who's going to go to the quarterback club and get a cheeseburger might have gone to the quarterback club to get a cheeseburger, whether or not there was a new facility or not. What we're trying to do is say, if you have this new asset that pulls people in, how can you quantify as best as possible the economic impact to the community in Northfield? I mean, I think I saw on the news there's three businesses that are closing on Division Street. If there's some way, any way, to invest our hard-earned tax dollars in trying to make Northfield more economically active, if we can get more people into this community, let's do it. We should do it. You know, this $1.8 million is hockey people only. We're not talking about a facility that's going to pull hockey people only. I mean, we can have a facility that brings people from the bike trail. We can have a facility that brings lacrosse players, tennis players. It's easy when you're dreaming, right? If we can find a way to raise this capital with all the private contributions, with all the city contributions, we have the potential here of having a really attractive facility that brings a lot of new people into Northfield. And those new people can walk down Division Street and they can go to the stores and they can get coffee and they can go to the new breweries. They can spend time in the hotel. It's a way to drive economic activity in the city of Northfield. So
I have to do a station identification,
sure.
All right?
Okay.
This is your radio station. Started in 1968, be 50 years old in September, 1080 on your AM dial, KYMN, and now the 95.1 FM from Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning on Kim is a fellow by the name of Chris Sorensen. He served as president of the Northfield Hockey Association for about 5 years, and are you the head man for the whole effort to get the new arena? Are you the man, chairman of the committee or whatever?
The Chris Canelli is the new president for the Hockey Association,
oh, okay.
And I will be reporting to him.
Yeah, I have him on my show.
I am going to lead the committee that's being formed to help to organize the private capital campaign, because I did a lot of the I helped with establishing the private capital campaign for the YMCA in Northfield many years ago. So I'm gonna be on a committee. I'm not gonna be as involved in the actual hockey operations as I was, but I am definitely gonna stay involved and try to spearhead as much as we can all the work that we need to do to try to continue this discussion and make it, make our case as best as we can to the city of Northfield.
When is the referendum?
If all goes well, hold on a second, there's a timeline that's in the city documents that you can find on their website. So I think May 15th is where the city council considers considers whether to put it on the property, on the ballot question for this coming election. And so the actual vote will be in November, assuming the question is approved by both city both Northfield and Dundas to put it on the ballot. The actual ballot question will be in November in this coming election.
And that's the half a percent
yeah.
sales tax.
And then also the property levy increase. That's part of it as well.
And so therefore, you have all summer and fall to promote your ideals. And I would imagine you got a committee that's going to be really making a huge effort to teach people about what your ideas are and why they are beneficial.
Absolutely. And it's not just promoting our ideals. We really want to have a discussion. We want as many stakeholders as possible contributing to this discussion. And it's a really important discussion, I think. We're going to be promoting and we're going to be educating as much as we can, but it's not a one-way education. We really want to try to get the discussion happening about how it is that we can spend our tax dollars to try to bring something new into Northfield that was going to attract more people.
Will the school board have a discussion about this and make a recommendation or a sign of support or disagreement? They're going to be a big customer, I assume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the high school, the activities director, Tom Groutman, who is retired, and Tanya Will, has been on this committee throughout the whole part. The difficult part about the school district is they're working on their own initiatives for the solution for the high school and solution for Greenville Elementary. What this high school has said, what the school district has said, is that they're committed to increasing the amount that they pay per hour for the ice that they do use. And so that increased amount per hour is part of the calculations that have been put in place to make sure that once the facility is constructed, it can operate in a revenue-positive way. And I don't remember exactly what that per-hour increase is, but it's a very significant per-hour increase, you know. The answer to your question is yes. The school district is here, and the school district is supportive. They're being supportive in a way that they can be supportive, which is committing to a higher hourly rate for the ice that they do use.
Now, this will be interesting. If Carleton has a hockey team, intramural or whatever, do you think they'd go to St. Olaf, or do you think they would come to a new Northfield arena?
Well, you know, part of the discussions that I would really like to have in the coming months is to speak with the right persons at Carleton. You know, Carleton has a club team, and they tend to come in at the current arena late at night. I think they come in at 9, and they do have a club team. I'm not sure that it's officially sponsored through Carleton, but, you know, there are hockey players at Carleton, and there have been over the years. So St. Olaf has advised that when they have their facility constructed, they'll have about 100 hours available through the season for use by others. And we're hoping that 100 hours is going to be used by Northfield's Hockey Association teams as well as the high school team. So there is a little bit of ice available at the new St. Olaf arena, but just a small amount.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not in the prime time. It would be more weekends. It'll be more weekends where their teams are traveling to other places. So based on that, I think that probably, hopefully, it seems like for the Carleton skaters, if they want to have a more enhanced intramural program, if they want to have a more formal club program, even if they want to do broom ball or curling or anything, that probably Carleton people would find more space and more availability and more opportunity in this new community arena that we're contemplating.
You think there'd be a bidding type deal?
No. Well, maybe. I don't, probably not.
Okay,
probably
so now,
not.
Okay, I had a grandchild that took skating lessons, mm-hmm. and so I could say my family used the arena. And what is amount of time for, are you proposing or thinking, for the public to use it to have free skating? Or you'd skate in circles like you do in Times Square.
Yeah. You know, I think that in the current arena, there's open skating. I don't know how many hours it is. I would certainly very confidently say that if I were the one making the decision, there would be at least that amount of time, and probably quite a lot more, since we're going to have two sheets to work with on scheduling.
And then you would charge to use the ice.
Yeah, the city would, not the hockey association. Yeah. You know, the city would. I mean, similar to the way that they do now, they have open skating, and I think it's something like $6 to get on the sheet. You know, another thing to think about is, and I think they do this at an arena in Burnsville. There's a curling facility that they use right on the hockey sheet. You know, they don't put the pebbles on the ice like they do in normal curling, but you know, I think at this stage we need to sort of dream about how we could use this facility. There could be curling, there could be room ball, there could be intramurals.
You ever thought of boarding it up and making it into a roller rink?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a discussion I had just last night, actually, when I was talking with another hockey parent last night at the Ultimate Frisbee game, and you know, I why not? I mean, in the non-hockey season, if you have a space that you can convert into roller skating, even roller derby, you could have concerts at this facility. You know, we're not constrained at the moment by there's some conceptual drawings in the city documents, but you know, if you have that type of facility, and we need to, we could construct it in a way that you could certainly have all kinds of different things. It's a big flat floor of concrete. You know, you can put basketball courts, you can put tennis courts, you can put a concert venue, you could roller skate on it. I mean, it's one thing that I think is so important as we discuss this option. It's a community asset, and the pro formas that have been calculated to make sure that if this asset is constructed, it can operate in a revenue positive way have been focused on hockey. But that doesn't mean that this facility could not be used for all kinds of different ways, like the St. Louis Park facility that I was talking about earlier, where they put turf in for the spring, and then they take the turf out and they put courts in. You know, I know early on in the YMCA discussions, we were really working with trying to find a way to make it work with the tennis association. I don't see any reason why we couldn't have the space that's available on this second sheet, if we need to, convert it over to tennis courts through the course of the summer. You know, there's a lot of ways to make a facility like this really work for the broader community beyond those folks who use.
By the way, congratulations on YMCA. That was a well thought out, hard-working effort, and it was very successful.
I should say congratulations is not really. I mean, I was the president of that board in the early phases for the first 5 or 6 years.
You had to get it off the ground.
Yeah, well, I did, but there was a lot of very good work done by a lot of people other than me.
I think Virginia's
the best one on that one, but thank you.
When I congratulate you, I'm talking about everybody involved. Okay, how many spectators are you anticipating? You mentioned concerts. What's the seating going to be like in the proposal?
I don't honestly know. I think in some of the early conceptual drawings, there's something like a 400 capacity for 400 people and to view the second sheet of ice, and there, I guess there's at least 400 on the main sheet of ice. You know, that's the problem with conceptual drawings, is you start putting those out there and people start assuming that's the only thing that it is. I think that if you had bleachers that collapsed out, sort of like in the high school, and you opened up that space and you have a stage, you could fit a lot of people in there, but I wouldn't want to guess as to its capacity. I think it's just a matter of how creative you can be about using space like that, right? In the current facility, the seating is on top of the locker rooms, and it's all hard concrete block, so it is seating, and it'll never be anything other than seating. But what if you had collapsible bleachers, and you can open up that space for the second sheet into a much larger venue? I mean, you could open it up into a larger venue for trade shows, for concerts, for, you know. I mean, imagine, for instance, if we're dreaming, what if we built a bridge across the river that connects the bike trail through Seckler Park over to the community arena? And what if we had a nice space for outdoor concerts or indoor concerts or, you know, cafes? Imagine the economic development that could happen in that space. You know, you could have new restaurants, you could have new stores, you have people, I don't know. You get excited when you start thinking about what could be in that facility.
Have you worked with the Chamber of Commerce at all?
You know, Todd Bornhauser has been on the committee representing the Chamber of Commerce from day one. So for the last 18 months, Todd's been part of this. And to the extent that he speaks for the Chamber, absolutely, he's been part of it. And he's been a very, well, I don't want to speak for Todd, but he's been a an advocate for, you know, anything that we can do to bring more people to Northfield more regularly. Like that Jesse James Days tournament is an example, but imagine how neat it would be if we could coordinate a 16-team tournament during Winter Walk. You know, we have all these people coming into Northfield for a hockey tournament, and we distribute out all the information of what's happening during the Winter Walk Festival.
But that's on a Thursday night.
Well, hockey tournaments can start sometimes on Thursday nights. Huh? And maybe you move Winter Walk to Friday night. I mean, if we can start working together more, and then we can start coordinating the messaging, and we hand out to a family that's traveling to Northfield from Chicago, you know, a list of activities like we did at the Jesse James Days tournament, you know, you have a way to, you have a captive audience, you have a family that's in town for the weekend. They're not going to be spending, you know, 14 hours at the ice arena. They're going to go to a restaurant. They're going to maybe go to Target, pick up some stuff. They're going to go to Menards. They're going to take in a movie. They're going to hopefully walk downtown Northfield. And all of a sudden, you have all these new people in Northfield spending money.
And what did you, I don't know if you said it, but for each hockey player, how many travel with him or her?
I think the calculations assumed at least one parent.
Okay, well, minimum.
Minimum, yeah. I think they assumed one. That's why it was difficult to come up with the number. The $220 number was a number that they arrived at because the city of Onalaska had actually done a survey. And depending upon, you know, because sometimes you'll go to a hockey tournament and you'll bring somebody else's kid with you. So there'll be one parent and two kids. Sometimes there might be one parent and three kids. Okay. You know, there's all kinds of scenarios. Yeah. So I think that's why that $220 per visit number felt like a good number to start with when you're calculating it.
The James Younger gang goes out to Rapid City every year, and on behalf of the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee makes a donation to a orphanage there, and the stories are just so sad. And it puts a big smile on their face when the Raiders talk to them and tell our story.
Right.
And we were at a motel, and there was a hockey tournament going on. And, I mean, those kids have fun.
Yeah, they do. Sometimes too much fun.
But it cost a lot more than $282 to do that because Deadwood is so close. Do you get it?
Oh, yeah,
what
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah, the gaming and, you know, I grew up skiing, too, and my brother and I used to, you know, Gillette's only 60 miles further west to get to the Black Hills, and so Terry Peak was where we, so I knew Deadwood before it became the gaming hub that it is now, and it used to be a really neat, it still is a really neat city. It's just that all that gaming has sort of changed its character in a way that's good, that can be good, and you know.
Do you have any bikers come through during the
rally? Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Through Gillette?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. It was a full-scale invasion. And you know, it was fantastic. It was wonderful.
What I'd like to do is invite you to come on in and be Chris Sorensen. And you can talk hockey if you want to, but just talk to Chris Sorensen.
Sure.
Be a guest of mine.
Okay.
It's just a two-hour show, Monday through Thursday. Any last-minute things you want to bring up or reiterate?
Well, you know, the only thing I want to reiterate is we are really interested in a discussion here, we meaning the hockey people. But, you know, this is not a asset that's serving only hockey, and we are very cognizant of how important it is to spend tax dollars wisely. And I believe that, you know, if we can build an asset that brings people to Northfield, not just hockey players, but lacrosse players and bikers and concert goers. You name it. Why not be creative and why not try to find some sort of a different solution to bring people into Northfield? I can't think of a better way to spend our tax dollars.
on, and that reminds me, the Northfield Historical Society put on the outlaw run for the motorcyclists, and it grew to be just overwhelming, from like 50 to 350. And it's nice to have them in town spending money.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it certainly was true in Gillette. I mean, during Rally Week and the week before Rally Week and the week after Rally Week, yeah, there's a lot of bikers in town. And I tell you what, in 2018, the Harley-Davidson riders are not just all the outlaws.
Yeah.
There's outlaws, but there's also a lot of very,
oh, yeah,
very, very, very fantastic people that come.
I think one of the funniest observations I ever made was being at the rally as a biker and going down to Deadwood and seeing the expressions on parents' faces with their little kids. Like, what? They didn't know that it was the big weekend,
yeah,
or the big rally, and all these kind of scary people walking around.
Yeah, it's funny though, yeah, that they are scary, but you know, it's like that movie Hogs, or I can't remember the name of the movie. I mean, the Sturgis bike rally is an incredible economic boom. Not only to Sturgis, but to every community around Sturgis.
Yep.
I mean, every one of those motorcyclers spends money when they're in town. And
you bet.
And that's a fantastic thing.
Well, why don't we plan on you coming back as Chris, and then you or someone else before the election want to come in and discuss more and tell us, you probably learn more in regards to everything that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
I'm always open to that. And there are people that are against it. And I'd give them equal time, too.
Absolutely. You should.
All right. Well, I'm glad you came in. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. That concludes today's Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, originally 1968, September 27th, at 10 a.m. We will be 50 years old on the AM dial, KYMN. And, of course, now,
95.1. The One.
Listening to the hard-working people. Listening to the lonely of birth. Raise your glass to the good and the evil. Say a prayer for the common foot soldier. Spare his heart for his backbreaking work. Say a prayer for his wife and his children. Burn the fires and who still till the earth. Searching faceless crowd, a swirling mass of gray and black and white. They don't look real to me. In fact, they look so strange. Raise your glass to the hard-working people. Home.